2 Peter chapter 1, if you will, look at verse number 13. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up, putting you in remembrance. Now, if you go to chapter 3, the very first verse of the same book, chapter 3, verse 1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the Bible. I thank you that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And since, Lord, we're going to be preaching the Bible today, we know that this will be a profitable time. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts, dear God, focus our minds upon heavenly things. Lord, help us to listen intently, Lord, as the preacher preaches, but even more importantly, listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God as you teach us through your word. Lord, thank you, dear God, for the wonderful gift of a memory. And Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, use this message, dear God, to maximize all that we should experience and can experience this weekend. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Very interesting. Two times in this second epistle of Peter, God uses Peter to write a verse about remembrance. In chapter 1, verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And then in 2 Peter 3, 1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, tomorrow is Memorial Day. And it's a day we set aside for remembrance. It's a day set aside to look back into our memories. And by the way, if we do it properly, to be stirred properly by those memories. You see, it's a day that we can remember and look back at memories. But by the way, I hope you have plans also, because it's also a day that you can spend making some future memories. And so I love the combination of the two. Memorial Day, preacher, you want us to just sit around and do nothing and remember the past? No, but I hope that you do some of that. Right. But I also hope that you're doing something to make memories for the future. And so I'm sure many of you have family plans, and I think that's wonderful. I think, see, both are important. And we should, by the way, we should plan to do both. And a lot of times what we do is we plan, and again, I'm not against a plan, on doing some things that are going to build future memories, but we really don't plan to use Memorial Day to spend some time remembering. So let's let the Bible encourage us to do so and be reminded of the benefits of this. Let me say a few things in introduction. First of all, remembering is very precious. Some of you older folks can really say amen. You say, you young people take for granted something called a memory. And you know what? You can remember things and dates and times. Say, preacher, I'll never forget this and I'll never forget that. Well, hang on. Good night. Sometimes I get up in the morning, walk in, kiss this woman and ask her what her name is, you know. So just pray to God it's my wife. Amen. So, you know, you're not always going to be quite as sharp as you are right now. So hang in there, okay? But I got to thinking about this, you know, it's been two or three Thanksgivings ago, but every Thanksgiving I play this little game with myself, and I always ask the Lord, help me to think of something I've never thanked you for before. And by the way, I try to be very thankful. I have a thankful heart towards the Lord, and so I feel like every year it's getting a little harder, and you think, well, there's nothing, preacher, I haven't thanked the Lord for. But every year when I ask God to help me to think of something I haven't thanked him for, he always brings something to mind. I think, you know what? I'm 62 years old and I've never said thank you to God for that. And a few years back, you know what it was? It was this: you've never thanked me for your memory. And you think about this, folks, this is one of our Creator's greatest gifts to us. God created us with the ability to remember. He didn't have to make us that way. He chose to make us that way. Memories are a very precious thing. You think about childhood memories and high school memories and courtship and engagement and wedding memories, memories of the birth of your children, then way too quickly the birth of your grandchildren, memories of your first car, your first house, and if you're a girl, your first accident, your first real vacation, memories of loved ones who, I'm in trouble already, memories of loved ones who, by the way, memories of loved ones who are now only visited through our memories, think about that. And so all of these things are very precious. I won't belabor this because I was kind of having fun with it, but one of the saddest things, and some of you have family members that have gone through this, is watching someone lose their memory. And, you know, to go visit somebody, a dear loved one, maybe a grandmother or an aunt, and you walk in and you call their name and they look at you and say, who are you? And so, folks, don't take for granted a memory. A memory is a precious thing. And a memory is a gift from God. Amen. Remembering is very precious. Let me say this. Remembering is very, very personal. Now think about that. Different people share memories of the events in your life. So you do share some events, the memories of it. When, you know, you think about the first phase of your life, you're thinking a lot of what you did. You share those memories with your parents. You share them with your siblings. You share them with your family. When you get together, you relive them. But, you know, it's interesting because they're still very personal. You know, three or four people can be at the same event, and you have a very strong memory of this thing happening, and then somebody else brings up something else that you didn't either know that happened or that you had forgotten happened. And even though you share some things, still your memories are very personal. There's different people that share different, you know, family, you have that growing up phase, and siblings and friends, childhood friends you share memories with, and then you go on. For me, it was then college, and I'm not sharing those memories with family. I'm away from my family, but it's, you know what, college chums and friends and people I work together with in ministry and all these things, you know, and then, you know, you, as I mentioned, you meet my wife, and then we have our memories of how we met and different things that we shared together during our courtship, and then, you know, the memory of our engagement and building up to that and our wedding day. And wait a minute, listen, there's all kinds of different memories that different groups or individuals share with you, but you know what, there's some memories that are 100% yours and yours alone. And there's only one person, by the way, that was in all of those things, and it was you. So memories are very personal, okay? Occasionally you'll see someone towards the end of their lives publish what they call their memoirs. And I think they do so because they're afraid that their personal memories will die with them. And, you know, they have all these things that they're so afraid that maybe people don't know, or if they do know, they will forget. And so, you know, we share those things, and we have those, a desire to preserve them somehow. And I would say to some of you senior saints, you say, preacher, physically, there's not a whole lot I can do that I used to do. Perhaps you ought to make sure that your family is left with a record of some of your most precious and important memories, because you know what? That's going to be something that if you don't do, will die with you. It will go with you. And so we have our personal memories, and remembering is very precious. It's very personal. I want to get into the message. Memories are also very powerful. Taking the time to remember does something for us and in us. That's why Peter twice in these verses we read talked about being stirred up by way of remembrance. And Peter, you think about it, folks, had some incredible memories. Now think about Peter, if you lived his life and had his memories. I this is just a sampling. He had the memory of seeing Jesus in person. You know, sometimes we have a memory of seeing somebody famous. We saw him for one fleeting moment. But he didn't have just the memory of seeing Jesus, but he had a memory of living beside Jesus and walking with him for 3 years. All of those memories, having Jesus ask you, this is what his memories were, of having Jesus ask him to become one of his followers, to become a fisher of men. He had memories of helping Jesus, and he participated in the feeding of the 5,000 and later on the feeding of the 4,000. He had memories of watching Jesus heal blind and lame and the blind and the lame, and cleanse the lepers and deliver men and women from demonic possession. He had the memory of being in a boat and watching Jesus walk on the water towards the boat, climb in the boat, turn around, rebuke the storm, and calm the waves and calm the wind. He had memories of Jesus preaching and teaching, of confounding his enemies when they tried to catch him in his words. Think about this. He had the memory of watching Jesus wash his feet. You imagine that? That's part of the memories he had. When he talks about being stirred up by way of remembrance, I think he knew what he was talking about. Imagine being able to remember watching Jesus die on the cross. And then, by the way, if you read the story of the resurrection, 3 days later, being one of the first to look into that empty tomb, he had the memory of looking in there and seeing that Jesus was gone. Imagine the memory of Jesus looking into your eyes because you kind of got cold-hearted and got away, and asking you three times, "Lovest thou me?" and making you answer it three times. He had that memory. He carried it with him. Imagine having the memory of standing up on the day of Pentecost and preaching, seeing 5,000 people saved. He had the memory of entering into the temple. Remember that day during the hour of prayer with John? He saw that crippled man asking alms, and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he reached and took the man's hand, pulled him up. And you know what? He walked in the temple with that man, and that man was leaping and running and praising. And you know what? Peter's like, "Man, I got that memory of spending nights in prison for preaching the gospel, of having an angel break you out of prison the night before you were supposed to be." I'm just saying, folks, listen, my memories aren't Peter's memories, but Peter had some powerful memories, great memories. Listen to me. And he knew how to use them. He knew how to use them. He realized that God gave us memories, by the way, folks, both good and bad, to help us to stir up our hearts and minds to be better for the Lord Jesus Christ. Memories are powerful. Remembering is powerful. Remembering done correctly can inspire us to do even greater things in the future and build even greater memories ahead. I'm just going to give you a very simple outline, but I'm going to challenge you to spend some time this weekend looking backwards. Remember, yep, spend time making memories, but spend some time visiting some memories also. I think memories are powerful for several reasons. Number one, remembering can make you powerfully patriotic. Yes. Powerfully patriotic. You know, it's said of Moses. Moses said something to the people of Israel when they had left Egypt and been powerfully delivered by God out of Egypt. He said this to the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. He said, remember this day. Okay, this is right after they crossed the Red Sea. This is right after God split the Red Sea. This is after they crossed on dry ground. This is after they watched their enemies destroyed. You know what he said? Remember this day. Mark it down. He said, in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you from this place, and there shall be no leavened bread be eaten. Now, notice what he said in verse 4, Exodus 13. This day came ye out in the month of Abib. Now, think about that. He said, listen, I want you to remember, it was on this day in this month that this happened, and you ought to set it as a memorial day. You ought to, every year when this hits, you need to stop and you need to remember that. And folks, this is one of the things that we ought to do this weekend. You know, if you want to have an appreciation for your country, if you want to feel patriotic, I say patriotism is the natural, it's a natural, normal reaction of a well-read mind. Amen. I'm going to challenge you to do some reading. I'm not going to, don't cancel tomorrow and read all day, but you know, if you don't feel very patriotic, it's not, let me just say it, look right up here. It's because of ignorance. Okay, you're either not reading history books or you're reading ones that have been recently published that spend more time destroying patriotism and the feelings of patriotism than they do building it. Don't get your education off the internet, okay? In fact, I just suggest to you, if you're going to read a history book, make sure it's been written at least 50 years ago. I mean that, because they've done such a good job of completely rewriting what really happened in our country that people, they don't feel as patriotic as they used to. You know, there's several days you think about, he said, now this day that you came out in the month of Abib, so on a certain day, in a certain month, you set it down as a memorial day, and you remember when you came out of Egypt. But I think about, folks, we have a nation that has done that. You know, every February, there's something called President's Day. And you know what we do usually? Not a whole lot. It's President's Day. Folks, listen to me. Some of the greatest men in our nation's history have been former presidents. And I know maybe you're a little discouraged with what we've had of late, but I'm just saying, you know what? You might want to look back and do some reading because, here's an idea. Next President's Day, why don't you Google, you know what, look up some famous quotes from some of our presidents. And you know what you'll find out, especially on, again, you know, look for early ones. Here's some quotes. George Washington said this: "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." He also said this, boy, we need to listen to this. He said, "Guard against the postures of pretended patriotism." Guard against the postures of pretended patriotism. Abraham Lincoln said, "Gold is good in its place, but living, brave, patriotic men are better than gold." Abraham Lincoln also said this: "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to men. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book." President Grover Cleveland said, "All must admit that the reception of the teachings of Christ results in the purest patriotism, in the most scrupulous fidelity to public trust, and in the best type of citizenship." You know what these presidents recognized very early? Is if the citizens who were students of the Bible and followers of Jesus Christ were the best citizens. That's what he noticed. President Dwight D. Eisenhower: "The Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of inspired wisdom." Ronald Reagan said, "While never willing to bow to a tyrant, our forefathers were always willing to get on their knees before God." President Ronald Reagan also said, "The founding fathers believed that faith in God was the key to our being a good people." He went on to say this: "While America's military strength is important, let me add here that I've always maintained that the struggle now is going on for the world will never be decided by bombs or rockets, by armies or military might. The real crisis we face today is a spiritual one. At root is the test of our moral will and our Christian faith." Folks, listen to me. We need to go back and revisit some of these words because we're not hearing them of late. But what I'm saying is this. Hey, you know what? We ought to mark some days. We ought to recognize some days. Some of our forefathers in their wisdom said, let's have President's Day. And you know what? We ought to take time to remember. More Memorial Day's tomorrow. You know, folks, let me just say this real quickly about Memorial Day. There's a lot of things we can remember and should remember, and I'll mention them. But you know what? Let's not forget the men and women that gave their lives so that we could live in freedom today. Let's not forget that. You know, can I just call the roll for a minute here? Revolutionary War, 6,800 patriots died. War of 1812, 15,000 patriots died. By the way, only 2,260 due to fighting, disease and other hazards took the rest of them. You know, a lot of times we'll only give the numbers of the people who died in battle, but you know what? War causes a lot of other casualties. The Mexican-American War, 1,733 deaths. Civil War, boy, this is sad, isn't it? 650,000 Americans died in the Civil War. World War I, 53,402 men died fighting, another 63,114 from other causes. World War II, 418,500 Americans died in World War II. Korean War, 54,246. Vietnam, 58,220. The Gulf Wars, 338. Iraq, Afghanistan, 5,364. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we ought to stop and say thank you. We ought to stop and show some respect, you know, because folks, you know, we enjoy what we have today because somebody was willing to do those things. And then, you know, June 6th is coming up pretty soon here. What's June 6th? It's something called D-Day. And, you know, you mentioned to the average American, what's D-Day? They wouldn't have a clue in the world. And yet, folks, it's an important day. It's something you ought to know and you ought to read about. Again, if you're going to feel patriotic and you're going to have a sense of thankfulness and appreciation for what you have, you're going to have to do some reading. And you're going to have to, I'll give you two books, The Longest Day by Cornelius Ryan, The Longest Day by Cornelius Ryan. You can go back and watch this on YouTube and get some of these. The Battle for Normandy Beaches by Stephen Ambrose, The Battle for Normandy Beaches by Stephen Ambrose. If you want to learn a little bit about D-Days, there's that and another 25 books that I could mention. What about July 4th? What is it? I'm talking about America. Okay, Moses, that you were speaking to the Israelites, and you said, don't forget this day, because that was a day that was important for their nation. But what about us? How have we got to the point where people think it's okay to burn the flag? Why are they desecrating, and did it this last week, desecrate a statue of George Washington? Why are they doing these things? I'm sorry, because they're ignorant. All right? They're not being taught in our universities American histories. I can remember when we used to go to history class, and then they changed it to what? Social studies. And they quit teaching history, okay? I can remember that. In elementary school, Independence Day, July 4th, 1776. You ought to read a book called 1776 by David McCullough. I just finished reading that about a month ago. And you ought to just read that book about that 1 year and what happened. You heard the story of Washington crossing Valley Forge? Do you know why he crossed Valley Forge? Do you know what was happening? Do you know the circumstances around that? Then if you knew it, you wouldn't be... George Washington's statue with some kind of Middle Eastern scarf, and we wouldn't allow that nonsense. If we understood what those men suffered so that we could have our independence, we wouldn't do stupid things like this. 9/11, folks, you know what? I think 9/11 ought to be stopped and remembered by every American. It happened once, it could happen again. Okay, dozens of documentaries have been released about 9/11. Every 9/11, somewhere in that time frame, I always sit down and try to watch one of those. There's so many of them that's really good. Faith and Doubt at Ground Zero, that documentary you can look up. Phone Calls from the Towers. Yeah, watch that documentary. That'll change your life. You know, this whole idea of going over and supporting Palestine, supporting... What do they call it? Hassan? Is that, what is it? Hamas. You know what? You're ignorant. You're ignorant of history. You're ignorant of history. You're ignorant of history. Okay? A bunch of ignorant college students that don't have an education but have an opportunity to go out and riot. And they're out there. Ignorance. Read. Stop being ignorant. All right, Veterans Day. Veterans Day is going to come up in November, folks. We always take a Sunday and try to dedicate it. We try to say thank you to our veterans. Maybe around Veterans Day, I'm giving you parents some ideas. Visit a military cemetery. You know, I'll give each of your kids 10 little American flags. Go find a military cemetery and have them walk around and just choose whoever they want to choose and just leave an American flag. And then stop and tell some stories about some of the wars that they were involved in. Thanksgiving Day, folks. You know what? We ought to think back to those people that first came to America to settle America. I have a poster, and we couldn't find it this morning. And, I left without looking for it. And then I've got my stuff so many places. My poor wife, I call her and, hey, can you find this? And I thought I knew where it was, and she brought it. It was in a cardboard roll. And I said, I think I seen it laying here. She grabs the cardboard roll, brings it to me. I pull it out, and it's a picture of my old bus route. It's not the picture I wanted for Thanksgiving, but I saw this and I ordered it off the internet. But it's got a picture, if you've ever seen this, of all of the families and all the people that came over on the Mayflower. And then it has 1 year later which one of them were still alive. So they have a picture of like a father, a mother, and three children, and one of them is in bright contrast to the other ones that are faded away, passed away. You realize, folks, after one winter here, there was only a third of the people left alive that landed on the Mayflower. You talk about that first Thanksgiving. Again, maybe we'd be a little more thankful if we'd spent some time reading, okay, and educating. How about December 7th, Pearl Harbor? You ought to read some books on that. How about The Day of Infamy by Walter Lord? That's a book you ought to read. At Dawn We Slept by Gordon M. Prange, and there's many. You know, Deuteronomy 32:7 says this. Deuteronomy 32:7, listen to it. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee thy elders, and they will tell thee. You know why we had what we had in the 60s and 70s? Let me just be honest with you. I was born in 61, grew up as a child in the 60s, as a teenager in the 70s. You know why we had such a shift in our culture in America? Because we had a bunch of young people that got arrogant and proud, and the saying used to be, you can't believe anything anybody says if they're over 30 years of age. And a bunch of young punks decided, I'm not listening to dad anymore. I'm not going to listen to grandpa anymore. I'm not going to, you know what? We need to make decisions what we want to do. And we need to decide what we need to believe. And they turned their back on their fathers and their grandfathers and turned their back on American history. And because of that, we became a very selfish and perverted generation. And so, folks, what I'm saying is this. It's a powerful thing. And if you want to, you can be patriotic. You can love America. But you're not going to do it by listening to the media and the talking heads today. And you're not going to do it. Our young people aren't going to grow up patriotic by what they're being handed in our public school system right here in Green Clay in Sullivan County. They're going to have to read outside of that. So number one, remembering can make you powerfully patriotic. Number two, remembering can make you powerfully appreciative. And you know, as you read all of these things and watch all of these things and look at these quotes and really get into the lives of these people, what you do is you begin to get first a feeling of patriotism, but then a real humble spirit of appreciation, you know, because there's people that have gone before you. Okay, the world didn't start the day you were born, and it's not going to be over the day you're done. And you know what? How you live your life does matter, and it should reflect an appreciation for all those that have gone before you. And, you know, you should live your life in such a way that the world is better and America is better than it was when we got it handed to us. You know, remembering can make you powerfully appreciative. You know, I'll read this, 1 Thessalonians 2:9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you to the gospel of God. And you know, Paul was writing in 1 Thessalonians, and he said to those people, that church in Thessalonica, hey, stop, you better remember something. Remember when we came there and that church didn't exist? Remember when we came there and we labored night and day? Remember when we preached unto you the gospel? Remember when you got saved? You know what he was saying? He's saying, don't forget the people that's invested in you. Don't forget the people that have prayed for you. Don't forget the person that led you to the Lord. By the way, if they're still alive, it might be a really good thing for you to get on the phone tomorrow and just drop them a little surprise phone call and just say, hey, we haven't talked maybe in a while, or we haven't talked about this, but I wanted to tell you how thankful I am. You know, I've said this times, folks, and I've tried to set an example of this, but, you know, every spring I drive up to Brazil, Indiana, and you know, you've heard the story. Many of you could stand right now and say, preacher, let me tell the rest of it. I know what you do, okay? I'm not repeating this because I don't know it. I'm trying to stir something inside of you. You know, and I'll pull into Jerry Purcell's parking driveway there, and I'll go up and knock on the door, and he'll holler to come in, And you know, I took Tabitha this time with me, and she got to meet Jerry Purcell, and we got to talking, and his son, Jerry Jr., I told him I was going to come at a certain time, so he was there also, and we relived childhood memories. And you know, Jerry Jr. is telling me about how we used to get on our bikes, and we'd be gone for almost a whole day, well, until we got hungry, you know. And then we'd drive around the country blocks, and we'd look in the ditches, and find pop bottles because we could cash them in for 3 cents each, you know. And after we got enough of them, we'd beg our mom and dad to let us drive our bikes 5 miles. We had to drive towards Brazil to get to that little corner store. That building's still there, right there across from North View High School, Brother Brian, and it's still there. I want to buy that property and open that store in my old age. That's where I'm going to retire and deal with a bunch of little kids like me coming in trying to cash in their pop bottles. And you know, it's amazing how long it took me to spend 9 cents. Okay, you know, I mean, this is all of these different penny candies, and I got to try to decide which one. And do I want three, you know, root beer barrels for a penny, or do I want one or two Jawbreakers? And that old man was so kind and so patient with us. And you know, we were talking about, listen, we were talking about a simpler time. How many of you parents feel like you can just send your kids, you know, for half a day on bicycles and let them take off and go through the country? We live in such a wicked world. Listen, America shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Say, how did your mom and dad know you were safe? Because, folks, I didn't have just one mom. I had a real mom, biological mom, but I had neighborhood moms. Okay? And everybody thought that they were in charge of everybody else's kids, you know. And, you know, if I pulled something out there before I get home, my mom's got five phone calls about it. You know, and some of them women were beyond coming out in the street and spanking us right there if we needed it bad enough. You know? You grew up in fear of a bunch of mean old women, you know, in my neighborhood. Hey, it kept us out of trouble. Kept us out of trouble, you know. And just a sweeter time, a simpler time. And I sit there, but listen, I told you, then every time when I get done, I go over by his chair and I kneel down. I take Brother Jerry's hand and I thank him for inviting my family to church. Folks, don't lose your heart of appreciation. Don't lose your heart of appreciation for people that are investing in you and have invested in you and preached to you and taught you. Not only that, what about your parents? Young people, don't lose that spirit of appreciation towards mom and dad. I get it. I know you're going to go through some times, and I know sometimes not everything mom and dad says or where they draw the lines makes sense to you, but you know what? Later on, you're going to, if you'll just listen and obey and understand they love you, you're going to later on grow up and look back and say, wow, I can see some things I couldn't see then. I'm so glad my mom and dad kept me where they kept me and had those lines and had those rules. So remembering can make you powerfully appreciative. And then let me finish with this. Remembering can make you a powerful Christian. And you know, you think about it. God wants us to remember. You know, why did Jesus institute what we call the Lord's Supper? Why do we pause every other month at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on a Sunday night and take the time to pass out little pieces of unleavened bread and take out and then pass out little cups of grape juice? And why do we do this? This do in remembrance of me. And he wants the entire church. You know, he said, as often as you do it, you know, should we do it more? Should we do it less? I don't know. Different churches decide to do it different ways. But as often as you do it in remembrance of me. That's what the whole purpose is. So when I'm sitting there and I'm holding that little piece of bread and I'm looking at it, you know, I'm thinking of the broken body of Christ. It takes me back. It takes me back to the cross. It takes me back to the fact that, hey, folks, don't forget this. Jesus didn't have to do that. He didn't owe us anything. He did not owe us anything. He did that because he loved us. All the abuse he took, started in Caiaphas in his little mock court there, and then they took him before Pilate, and then all the nonsense there, the lies that were told about him. Then next thing you know, they're stripping him naked and tying him to a post and scourging him. And then those Roman soldiers, they make a crown because he's the king of the Jews. They think it's funny. They make a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they sit down and they kneel down and mock him and put a scarlet robe on him and just mock him for being the supposed king. When they got tired of that, they snatched the scepter out of his hand and beat him over the head with it and drove those. Listen, he did that because he loved me. And you know what? Shame on us if we don't stop and remember what Jesus did for each and every one of us. He didn't have to do that. After he was scourged there, humiliated, they took him out. And they gave the people, imagine this feeling of Jesus standing there. And here, these are the people that you've walked amongst and preached and been kind to and healed their sick and all this. And they got an opportunity to choose between him and Barabbas, which is like, I'm sorry, it's like he was the Charles Manson of that day. Okay, I'm just telling you. I mean, he was the most notorious criminal. That's why Pilate did it. There's no way they're going to turn, you know, choose Crazy Charlie over Jesus Christ. Right. And they said, you know, give us Barabbas. Yeah. You think what that did to the heart of Christ. Yeah. Well, what about your king? Crucify him, crucify him. He didn't have to put up. You know, the Bible lets us know that, folks, listen to me. They didn't take his life. He gave his life. The old gospel song, he could have called 10,000 angels. You know, at any point in time, he could have looked at the Father and just said, they're not worth it. Get me out of here. He Listen, love kept him on the cross. Those nails didn't keep him on the cross. Love kept him on the cross. And to be nailed to that cross, to be hoisted up, to have those men walk back and forth, those scribes and Pharisees, and just mock at him. And folks, they spit in his face. They gambled, stripped him naked and gambled for his clothes at the foot of his cross. You know, you think about that. So where was Jesus? What was he doing at that time? He looked over to a thief that was looking at him with tears in his eyes. And you know what? He took that thief with him to paradise. Amen. What I'm saying is this. You know, Jesus said this in Acts 20:35. We're given the only red letter words that you'll find. Well, that's not true. Acts chapter 1 has some, but the rest of Acts, there's only one other place you'll find red letter words, the words of Jesus. Acts 20:35. I have showed thee you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if we remember right, and we remember Christ, remember what he sacrificed, remember what he was, how he lived his life, you know what? He came and he gave and he gave and he gave and he gave and he gave. And we're raising a generation that are takers, not givers. And they take and they take and they take and they take. And whatever I can get, whatever I can grab, and it's all about me, and they're miserable.
Right.
And yet Jesus said there is a great way to live. And when we remember what his words were, and we remember what he gave and the blood that was shed, the body that was broken, all of a sudden we can become powerful Christians. How does that stirred up? How is that activated in our life? By way of remembrance. And so have a great Memorial Day. I mean this. I don't ever want to come up, preach a message and make you feel like, well, preacher just ruined our plans. You know, we were going to have fun. I think this stuff is fun. I think it's needed. I think we ought to start taking these, you know, holidays and these remembrance days and actually remembering what we ought to remember and doing what we ought to do. The greatest sin that's infected the church in the last 25 years is the sin of selfishness and the sin of unthankfulness. So many people are talking about their rights. When are we going to talk about our responsibilities? They're talking about give me, give me, give me. What about let me give you, let me give you, let me give you? JFK said this, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And you know what? That's almost a foreign concept. As a Christian, we should live by the words of Christ. Think about this. Our creed should be this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Live for God. Live for others. Stop worrying about yourself so much. Stop worrying about your rights. What about your responsibilities? Stop thinking about what you can get from this country. What are you going to give for this country? If you start getting that mentality, you know what? You can become a powerful Christian. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the memory that you've given us, Lord. The way you created us so that we can remember. And Lord, we ought to count them, Lord, is precious because they are these personal memories, these powerful memories. Lord, sometimes as we do age, things somewhat fade and we don't remember as we ought on some things. But Lord, what a precious thing that we have been given. I pray, Lord, that you'll cause us, dear Lord, to do some thinking, to do some reading, to do some meditating. But Lord, help us to be stirred. Not just think about today, what we've got planned, or tomorrow, what we've got planned, but to take some time. Lord, thank you that many, many of us, Lord, either have or will be taking a trip to the cemetery, and we'll stand there beside some grave sites, and we'll remember, and we'll talk, and we'll wipe some tears, and we'll thank you, have a thankful heart and appreciative heart for those that have gone before us, and Lord, because of them, We have been given the gift of life because of family and friends. We've been given so many good examples and words of wisdom. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us not take those things for granted. We pray these things in Jesus' name.